And this morning, I do want to actually talk about that. I want to speak into that. And I'm going to be talking about Nehemiah, and we're going to be talking about building the walls, but this probably won't be the only week. I feel like Nehemiah was put in my heart even weeks ago, and not sure how many weeks, but I feel like it's going to be more than 1 week we're going to be looking at Nehemiah and in the book of Nehemiah. And so if you love to follow and you actually want to go ahead and jump in your Bibles, that's fine. Go ahead into chapter 1, Nehemiah, because that's where we're going to be, okay? That's where we're going to be, okay? So you can jump on in there. The first thing this morning I wanted to share is, we are in a new year. We say we're kind of in a new season, and it's exciting. It's exciting. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get little glimpses. And even praying this week, sometimes you get little glimpses of what's in God's heart and what he wants to do. You don't know, I don't see the full picture, and far from it. But I believe there's an excitement. And I don't know if you get that in your heart as well, but just an excitement about what the Lord wants to do in Messiah. Maybe even what he wants to do in your life. I believe there is, and there's something that stirs within me that it's like, God's up to something. Don't know fully what that is. Don't know fully what God is going to do. But I know it's going to connect with what he's done. And then that's something I want to kind of speak into. But I think it is exciting. Sometimes you get glimpses into what God wants. And I feel like even what I want to speak this morning about moving towards God's heart is what he wants. And what he wants for us individually, and what he wants for us as a church, the body of Christ. So I don't know. I would imagine, if you've been a Christian long enough, that God's put things on your heart, okay? God's burdened your heart with someone or something, and you would know that there's something that you're thinking about, and you're not just thinking about it once. You're thinking about it continually, and it's something that begins to get inside of you that you even feel like the Lord wants me to pray about this. Okay, there's someone or something, maybe a situation. Maybe there's something going on in the world. Maybe it's a person that you feel like God is putting a burden on my heart that I need to pray for this person. And I don't need to just pray once. I need to pray continually. I need to pray today. I need to pray tomorrow. I need to take this person, this situation, this whatever it is, this event, I need to take this up in prayer before God. And God is burdening you with that, okay? And that's a good burden. I mean, sometimes you feel some emotions that come with that. Sometimes you feel heaviness. Sometimes you feel maybe you feel the pain of somebody. If somebody's going through a painful time. Sometimes you're feeling their pain. And even God's giving you the ability to feel their pain. God does that. It's not your pain. It's their pain. But you actually get the opportunity to feel that and what that's like. And that's okay. It's good because God wants you to burden you with prayer. And it's not that you even know all the details sometimes. You don't know all the details. And sometimes you just are called to pray continually. And then time comes and maybe you hear about that person. Maybe you see somebody who knows that person or knows that event and you want to know more. And in fact, the more you pray about something, the more you endeavor to take on a burden, you get more involved. You get more connected to that. And you want to know more. You want to know more about the situation. And you even want God. Hey, God, tell me more about the situation. See, God can cultivate in you an intense interest, an intensity even in your own heart that can grow. It can grow in prayer. It can grow as you seek the Lord, as you put it before the Lord. You don't need to know all the details. The only thing is you do need to do is respond, right? Just respond. Respond to God in his promptings. And as you do so, yes, you go further and further to where God wants you to be in connecting with that burden. Okay, you're basically taking a responsibility to engage. You're taking a responsibility to engage in something God has called you to engage in. Maybe you're called to be an intercessor for a person. You're to stand in the gap that person doesn't have anybody else praying for them but you. You're the one who's to pray and to intercede. Or maybe you're to join with millions to pray for something that's going on in the nation, right? And you're called to also be that person, to stand in the gap, to be in prayer. And God wants to connect your heart to that person or connect your heart to that situation. So God calls us to do that. Where is God connecting your heart? And ultimately, when he does that, we're actually also experiencing God's heart. We're experiencing God's heart for that person. We're experiencing God's heart for that situation. We're getting to experience a little bit of what God wants for something. And he wants his people to join together, or his people to intercede, or to pray, or to go after something. Okay? Because it's on his heart. Sometimes we really need to open our hearts to say, God, I'll allow you to burden me with something that burdens you. To open our hearts to even something, and I know it's not always easy, because sometimes we don't want to be burdened. Sometimes we have enough trouble of our own, sometimes we have enough things going on in our life that we don't need something else. But God does look for his people. He looks for people who will open their hearts and allow themselves to be burdened with something that's on God's heart. It's in a good way, allowing him to do that, to take time to pray, choosing to engage and not to distance ourselves, right? But to get involved, to be part of what God wants to do in that person, that situation, whatever it may be, to be a part of what God wants to do. That's what I want to look at this morning. And then this is going to go directly into Nehemiah chapter 1, because Nehemiah was that kind of person. He was a person who allowed himself to be burdened with what was on God's heart, what burdened God's heart very deeply. And Nehemiah opened himself to the Lord's heart, to take on the heart of God. I want to begin to read Nehemiah. I'm going to learn more about him. We're going to look at the first chapter. First chapter is actually fairly short. I think it's like 10 or 11 passages here. So let me begin to read. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my family's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, the decrees, and the laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even If your exiled people are on the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was the cupbearer to the king. So here in chapter 1, we get introduced to Nehemiah. We also get introduced to Nehemiah's heart. He hears about the broken down walls in Israel. He hears about the state of Jerusalem and the people, the downtrodden people, the people who have been ruled over and defeated and ruled over by kings, nations. And we see that Nehemiah here, he's actually a servant to a king in exile. See, he's in exile in Persia, the Persian king. He is a cupbearer to the king. So in some ways, he has a certain level. He's risen to a certain level as a servant because he's in the king's household, so to speak. He's a servant. He's also part of the faithful remnant of Israel. And he thinks about, as you can tell, he thinks about. And God has already burdened him for him to even ask the question, to even want to ask the question to his brother who returns from Israel. He had to be thinking about this. He had to be praying about these things. Something was on his heart that he had to know. He wanted to know, what is the state of the people in Israel? I would say that Nehemiah was a man of prayer. And I would also say that he was connected to God in the aspect of what God has done for Israel and what God desired to do. He remembered the promises of God. And those are things he spoke before God, remembering even back to the promises of God. And his heart is yearning for the restoration of Israel. We see that Nehemiah is actually a leader that God chooses. He's someone who connects with God's heart. He's someone who connects with God's heart. And in the prayer, and I really see that it was, I would even say, with the time he went and he fasted, he prayed, he mourned, that burden grew. That burden in his heart grew to the point where he knew he had to be a part of the solution. He had to be a part of the restoration of Israel. And you hear that prayer. You hear that in his prayer. It's like, Lord, I know we've broken covenant with you. I know we're a people that have been exiled, and we deserved to be exiled because of our great many sins. And he includes himself and his family in that. But then he also comes back and reminds God about his promises. And then he says, Lord, give me success before the king. Grant me favor before the king, that I could be released from my service here, my service to the king, to be a part, to play a part in the restoration of Israel. God's heart was already for this, you see. It started with God. It started with God's heart and what he had planned to do and spoken even in from the prophets many years ago, that he would restore the people. God needed a man. He needed a people that would come with him, capture his heart, and trust him to do the things that he was calling him to do. Nehemiah had the position and the disposition to do that. He had the disposition to surrender before God, a yes to the Lord, that yes, Lord, you can burden me. You can burden me with what burdens you. He had that inward disposition to say yes to the Lord and surrender his life, whatever that may be. And I don't know how comfortable his life was. I mean, being a servant to the king, I mean, he was a servant, but he probably also had what he needed in life, serving in the king's household. But that didn't matter to him, because what mattered to him most and what became the greatest burden in his heart was that the people of Israel would be restored, that an exiled people would be returned to the promised land, to be connected back to covenant with their God. And so after he had fasted and prayed and mourned and grieved, he sought the Lord. Then we get this prayer. He was really, I believe, praying. It's almost like, do you ever pray God's prayer back to him? I think that's sometimes what we do. Sometimes we pray God's scripture or declare God's scripture back to him. That's good, right? Sometimes we even say, remember God, remember what you said. I see that over and over in scripture. That it's not that God has a forgetful problem. He's not someone who just forgets where their keys are or forgets where they put the laundry or whatever it is, that shirt that you need. God's not forgetful. But sometimes in prayer, to go before God and say, remember your promises, remember what you've said to your people, remember what you would do. God's faithful to his promises. But sometimes it's interesting how he has to get us to a place, to a point, where we'll pray his prayer. Where we'll pray his word. Where we'll actually, what we're doing is agreeing with God and saying, yes, Lord. Yes. If that's what you want, that's what we're praying. If that's your heart, that's where we're going. That's what we're doing. That's what we're going to seek. Because in that exchange, it's really Nehemiah's heart is connecting with God's heart. God wanted to restore the people of God back to the promised land, back to covenant with God, back to centering their lives on worship, worshiping him, going to the temple. Yes, offering the sacrifices, giving themselves unto the Lord, celebrating the festivals, celebrating Passover together, doing the things that God had commanded them to do as a people, restoring the word of God in the hearts and the minds of the people. This was on God's heart, and it burdened Nehemiah greatly. Nehemiah knew that there had to be a way, and this is why he asked for that favor. There had to be a way because, again, he was a bondservant. He was a servant to the king. He can't just get up and leave. But God knew this, and God makes a way. Even changing the heart of a king, shaping the heart of a king to release Nehemiah, and not only just to release him, but to give him all the provisions that he needs, even to rebuild walls and gates, gives him even access to the treasury and to the forest that they would cut trees down to the lumber that they would need. And not only that, does he get provision, but the favor that God gives him is also protection. He's given covering because he can't do this by himself. It's not possible. And Nehemiah knows this. He can't do this by himself. He's asking for favor, the favor of God. And God supplies everything that he has need of, even down to a little small army that goes with him back to the promised land. To protect him, because he would need protection, because he would have enemies in the land, people who did not want to see the walls rebuilt, that would come against them. He needed protection. but God was with him. The scripture says in Psalm 127, 1 through 2, you know this very well. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Nehemiah knew this. He knew he needed the favor of God. He needed the favor of God. Just as we would say today, we need God's favor to do any endeavor that's worth doing, doing any endeavor that we would say, put God's name on, it's not us doing it for God, right? We have to do it with God. Nehemiah knew he needed the favor of God, and we know today we need the favor of God. And Charles Stanley puts it this way. Charles Stanley says, all of our efforts are useless and futile if we do not partner with God in what he wants, and in the time and manner he desires to accomplish it. The blessing of the Lord spells the difference between success and failure, satisfaction and regret. We don't want to do anything apart from God in that sense. We don't want to build anything. We don't want to build our lives. Scripture is very clear. You know, if we just take things in our own hands and try to build our own life and make us successful, just make me successful, then it's like building our life on shifting sand. But God says, no, build your life upon the rock. Build your life upon Christ Jesus so that the house that's built will stand firm when those difficulties come and the opposition will come against the house. Nehemiah knew that rebuilding the walls was a useless task without God's favor. And God gives him favor. Now, Nehemiah, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful that the restoration of all of Israel, it became his life work, and that he would not do it alone. He would not do it alone. He couldn't build the walls by himself. This was a massive project, a massive undertaking, something that probably people would say years in the making to build. I don't know how high the walls of Jerusalem were, but they're massive. They're very tall. Nothing that just an individual or even a small group of people could do. But with many hands, the great work would be accomplished. And it actually accomplished in a short time. We know from Nehemiah, it says that the walls were rebuilt in 52 days. Kind of jumping ahead in the scriptures. 52 days. But it was the connection of what from Nehemiah, the burden on his heart, going to Israel, gathering the people, sharing the vision, and the people saying, yes, we hear your burden, we hear the vision, and the people, the remnant, literally the remnant of Israel that was left, gathered their families together, coming even from the little towns around Jerusalem, and saying, yes, we'll do our part. We'll play a part. We'll carry that burden that you have. We'll also carry that with you so that we'll do it together. None of us has the capacity to do the great work of God. God's work, his kingdom, is so much greater than any individual. God calls his church to participate in a work that's doesn't start today or didn't start yesterday, but started millennia ago. In many ways, today we stand on shoulders of great men, women, children that have gone before us who served the Lord, who honored God, who gave their lives and said yes to the Lord. We'll carry your burden. We'll carry what's in your heart. And what we do today, even as a church, is a part of what has been done by churches, by saints, that have gone before us. But we are a part. We're a part of that. We play a part. You see, God has a plan, and it involves us, all of us. Nobody, you know, people in the church, I mean, in churches, you can opt out, but God invites us in, all of us, to participate, to be a part of, to play a role. And as it says, it connects with what God has already said and done. But I've spoke, you know, weeks ago, and we talked about the whole being before doing. And I think this is very crucial. The being before doing is so important, because how we are established as a church is very important, because we can get very busy and we can think, okay, let's do this for God. Let's do that for the Lord. Let's build this. Let's build that. And sometimes, and churches do get busy. Sometimes there's a lot of programs. There's a lot of busyness going on. But sometimes we can forget where the foundations need to rest and where they need to be at. And I want to really hit home on that today, is that our first priority needs to be, as we move forward, we really move towards God. That's the first movement that we make. We move towards God, not even necessarily to a ministry. It has been said that we're to minister to the Lord before we minister for the Lord. To minister to Him. We do that with our praise and our worship. We do that with a surrendered heart. We do that with giving our lives to Him, with saying, God, I'll allow you to burden me with what burdens you. What's on your heart? God, I want to know your heart. To move towards God, to move towards Him, to minister to Him, to give Him glory, to give Him honor, to ascribe to Him all praise, to have a surrendered disposition before Him. This is very important. Richard Foster, in the Celebration of Discipline, states it this way, that the divine priority is to worship first. Worship first. Service second. Service flows out of worship. Isn't that the way it should be? That our service, that what we do for others, how we give of ourselves for the Lord, flows out of a heart for God, out of a love for God, out of God's love in us, that we connect with God in such a way that when we go out, we carry His heart, we carry His love, and we carry a burden that He wants to share with us to minister, whether it's ministering to the lost, to the broken, to those who need healing, to those who need transformation, those who need salvation, right? There's a lot of work to be done, right? There's a lot of work all over the world. There's work being done today. But to do it out of the heart of God, not just I should because, you know, I should, out of a sense maybe even of guilt or responsibility, but flowing from the heart of God. David exhorted in Psalm 37. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Take joy in His presence. Enjoy the goodness of God. Experience the love of the Father. Delight yourself in the Lord, and guess what? He changes the heart. He molds and shapes us and fills us to a place where we can overflow with the very presence of God. That's what we want to minister with. We want to minister with the overflow of God's presence, of His goodness in our life, of connecting with his heart in that way. So delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy God. Enjoy his presence. Spend time with him. Experience his love and his goodness and how much he loves you. Moving towards God helps us to know his heart and to know what he wants to accomplish. And he even puts those desires, and pay attention to those desires he puts in your heart, because he has a purpose. He has a purpose through those desires, those things that he's stirring up in you. And that's why I say sometimes I get glimpses. Sometimes I get glimpses of what God wants to do. Because even this week, there's just times and moments where I was praying and just an excitement got bubbled up within me. Just within me, it's like just a little excitement. Just like, God, you have a plan. I don't know what it is. You have a plan. But it's just reminding me that he has it. Do y'all know he loves Messiah Christian Church? That he loves this church? I'm not saying building. I'm saying church, right? The body of Christ. He loves this church. He has a plan for this church, a purpose for this church. And it's, it connects with all of history, all of God's history. Dutch Sheets puts it this way, and I'm going to ask because I want to say what he said. And then God got me to watch Dutch Sheets this week, and I felt led to do that. And I know some of y'all are very familiar with him. Appeal to Heaven. Have y'all familiar? Appeal to Heaven. I just went right to YouTube. It was like the first one. It was just when he spoke a couple years ago. But it wasn't his first time he spoke about it, actually. Couple years ago, he spilled it out. And I hadn't heard that. I hadn't heard his whole message on how he got that mantle, so to speak, to intercede for America and to travel to 50 states and to pray very specific prayers and to intercede and to know the heart of God for America. Like this is his life calling and this whole appeal to heaven. But I wouldn't mind sending the link out because I think it's powerful. It was very powerful. But God said to Dutch Sheets, he says, "You think I'm starting over? I'm not starting over. I'm going to teach you how to be a bridge from yesterday to tomorrow." He was speaking about generations. Generations. Because what we do in this generation is not just unique to us. It's not unique to us because it connects with generations past. And it is for generations future. So, and this is something that Dutch Sheets really hit home on, and I love the way he spoke about it, because it's like God moves in all of eternity, right? And he encapsulates all of history. He moves within history. His hand is guiding and doing things, and we can see his hand throughout, and it's always redemptive purposes, always redeeming his people, drawing his people back, and for his people to be a light unto the nations. You know, we see that, and in some ways, it's right. It's like God, even in Messiah Christian Church, is not doing something new. This may be a new season, but his purposes prevail. His purposes have always been and prevail. And even what God did to establish Messiah Christian Church, what was it, 17 years ago? Was that roughly? Somebody help me with that. I don't know what date. Maybe somebody can give me a date. But it was roughly, I think, 17 years ago. But what God purposed for Messiah Christian Church wasn't just necessarily unique to Messiah Christian Church, because it embodied God's heart, his plan, his purpose for his people and to be a light to this region, to this area. It hasn't changed. It's just sometimes it's our heart being connected with his heart. And what he wants to do and how he wants to do it, we don't know, we don't understand. But we say, God, give us favor, right? help give us success. We don't even know what we need. We don't even necessarily know what we need, but we say, God, you know, you have a plan. We don't see the plan fully, but you have it, right? It's there. And sometimes God gives us glimpses, and hold on to that. You know, those glimpses, because he's encouraging us to go forward and say, I have a plan for you. And it's good. So in that sense, you know, we trust that generations in the past, they prayed, they sought the Lord, they heard from God. They wrote things down. You know, we don't need a new mission statement. We don't need a new statement of faith. Because really what we do is we draw from those who have gone before us, who have prayed, who've heard God. But say, Lord, how would you work in our midst, even today, to reestablish and do and grow and expand to do the purposes that you have always meant for this church? And we're not alone. We should not ever be alone. Messiah Christian Church unto itself, by itself, independent unto itself from the rest of the church? No, because we are to connect with the church abroad. We do, right? We have missionaries. We have people that are connected in other nations. We connect in the body of Christ to send his work out, to support it. But that's very important because we don't do the work alone. This region is not just accomplished just by one church, but we're a part of the church. But we pay attention to God's mission for us. We come into agreement with God. We want to connect. And again, Dutch Sheets kind of said, in order to go forward, you connect going backwards. Not, I would say backwards, but going back into history. It's almost like you bring future history and you bring them together. He kind of said it this way, that he was on the campus of Christ for the Nations, and the founder, who had passed away decades earlier, had started that work. I think it's in Dallas, Texas. Started that work, and it started powerfully. The founder always wanted to be a place where they experienced the signs and the wonders of God, the power of God, the presence of God, and it started very powerfully. And he said he was there giving a talk, and this was quite some years down the road, and they had discussed that the Spirit seemed like it had waned there. It had waned in that the Christ for the Nations, that ministry, in the school. And they were praying, you know, and they said, Dutch Sheets, come and could you lead us in prayer? Could you lead the people? And our heart is to get back to, you know, where we were. And so he was in the midst of prayer and leading the people. And God spoke to him and said, I want you to really agree with the founder. And of course, he responded and says, how am I going to do that, God? The founder's not here. He's dead. And of course, he put it in a funny way, because it's like, Lord, we don't speak to the dead. Lord, what are you saying? This is not you. This must be a demon. But God was saying that the founder is deceased, but his prayers, his declarations have not passed away. What he did to found this ministry has not disappeared. And he spoke and said, I want you to agree with his prayers, the founder's prayers. I want you to agree and to come in unity, to come in agreement with those prayers, with those declarations that were made many years ago. And really, and I really say, watch the whole message, because it's really good. It's about an hour long, but it's saying that again, it's connecting. And really, it's still connecting with the heart. What was the heart of the founder? It was in the prayers. It was in the declarations. He was saying, connect back to that. Because when you're connecting to that, you're connecting to my heart for this ministry. and what I desired and what I wanted and what I put in the founder's heart. What he was burdened back then to pray for, what he was burdened to seek God for. And that's what the Lord, I believe, calls us to do. We want to carry his burden in a good way, right? To carry his burden. By doing so, you're really, it's almost like there's a mantle that you're carrying of what God wants to do and has upon you. And you're praying, even praying God's prayers. Say, Lord, show me the prayer you want me to pray. Show us how to pray into these things. We're not just asking God, do this, do that, do this. I mean, yes, we have times of praying and asking, but we also come before the Lord and say, Lord God, connect our hearts with what has gone before us, with what you have done and what you are doing, and that we would get a real sense of what you desire, what is in your heart, and what has been in the heart for this church, even. So it's coming into agreement with the God of all eternity. And I don't know if this could even change your prayer life. Actually, it makes me think of differently about my own prayer life. It's like, Lord, you know, maybe I need to go find works and prayers of saints that have gone before. You know, people that are, you know, significant individuals and churches and ministries that hear their, let me hear their prayers. Let me go back and what were they praying? What were they seeking? What were they after? We might just also hear the heart of God in that. So my prayer even this morning is that we can come into greater alignment with God, because I think that's what he wants. I think that's what he desires for the work of God to come into greater alignment with him and with those who've gone before us. And I pray that Messiah Christian Church is a church of generations, right? And that's what I hear that in the leaders and people I've spoken with, is that, you know, we're not done yet. There's more to do. And I really believe there's generations to affect. And we desire that and say, yes, Lord God. Lord God, would you fill these seats with generations? With the old and the young and the in-between? God, could we see 3-4 generations in this church? And that we would have a mantle to pass down. That the burden that this generation has would be a burden that we could pass down and share, because what we're doing is sharing the heart of God. Right? We don't want to just pass down a church that says, okay, well, here's the programs we did, and this is how we did Sunday service, and we had the lights this way, and we did the sound system this way. I mean, okay, there's practical stuff that has to be done, but first, before service, there's really knowing God in his heart. So that's my prayer this morning. Actually, I gave everybody the prayer of Nehemiah. I think I have one. And what I want to do this morning, I'm going to invite you to hold this prayer, at least this week. Could you pray this every day? Could you commit to just praying? And some of this is, okay, I wrote this New Living Translation, okay? You can have your own, that's fine. But at the end, I put something there to, you know, Nehemiah says, grant me success before the king, the Persian king, that he would be kind, his heart would be kind to me. Well, you also, I'm going to give you flexibility to put, if this is a prayer for you or a prayer for the church, I put the church in here because I just pray that God give us favor. God, you're the king, king of all kings. Look at that, we would have favor with you. and that you would show your kindness to us and give us the wisdom to go forward with you. But I'm going to ask, and even if you would take times, and if you can do this, this would be also wonderful, because I think also in seeking the heart of God, it's good to set aside time to pray. If you have the ability also to fast a meal, to spend that in prayer. Maybe you can do more, but there's something that you can give up this week that instead of that, you would pray. I'm going to have some time of fasting, some meals and some things I'm going to give up this week, but I want to be committed this week to pray these prayers, and that's what I'm just asking, if you would also, you know, pray these prayers with me. And today, if we could, as a congregation, I would like to pray Nehemiah's prayer together. So let us stand. And I think everybody has a sheet. I think everybody got one. If not, we do have more sheets. Did everybody get a sheet? Okay. Okay, everybody does. All right, let's pray together. It says, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to our prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me, obey my commands, and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please give us, your church, Messiah Christian, favor to rebuild what has been broken and restore that which has been lost. May your will and work be accomplished in this church, and may the vision you have always had for Messiah come to fruition. Amen. Amen.